Welcome to Wealthability, where we learn how to make way more money and pay way less taxes. Hi, this is Tom Wheelwright, your host, founder, and CEO of Wealthability. Very excited to have you on this particular training course today. Here's the question of the day. What if you never had to pay taxes on your investments? Over the years, so many of our clients have completely eliminated tax on their investments. So today, you're going to discover how to eliminate taxes on both the cash flow from your investments and the capital gain from your investments. And this is going to be true on any investment. So here's the good news. Now we're going to start like we always do with a little bit of background about how the tax law works. And you recall that using the cash flow quadrant, there are four ways to make money: an employee, self-employed, big business owner, or professional investor. And you may also recall that how you make your money has a significant impact on the rate of tax you pay, so that if you're making a good income as an employee, you're typically paying 40%, self-employed 60%, or up to 60%, a big business owner down to 20%, and a professional investor 0%. Now, we talked about, in other courses, we've talked about the professional investor and the 0%. What we talk about today is going to apply to the employee who invests, the self-employed person who invests, the big business owner who invests, and the professional investor who invests. And here's the reason: because the tax law is fair. There are provisions in the tax law that allow you to earn your money as an investor tax-free. Whether you're a casual investor or a professional investor, so long as you have the behavior, right? It's how do you behave in order to get these tax benefits? And it's, I can't tell you how excited I am, because so many tax benefits apply primarily to the big business owner and the professional investor. And what we're going to talk about here applies to everybody and regardless of your asset class. So let's look at the different asset classes. And then what we're going to look at is, okay, so how do we make our investment income tax-free depending on that particular type of investing? Because there are special rules for each type of investing, each asset class. Okay, so let's look at the asset classes first. So here's your basic financial statement, right? And we have the income, expense, asset, and liabilities. Now, in the asset column, we're only talking about assets. So we're not talking about if you earn your income. This is not the income that you're going to earn as an employee. This is not going to be the income you earn, okay, from your self-employed business. This is going to be the income you earn from your investments, okay? So we're going to look at these different asset classes. We have four different asset classes, remember. We have business, we have real estate, we have paper, and we have commodities. And of course, the reason that we have these different types of entities is these different type of assets, the whole goal is to put money in our pocket, right? It's to put money in our pocket. So as we go through the different asset classes, see, this is why the very first thing we do, and when you get into the wealth building courses, you'll see this. One of the very first things we do is choose which asset class, because we need to understand what assets you're investing in order to determine how to own those assets and how to deal with those assets in such a way as to eliminate the taxes. Okay, as to eliminate the taxes. So let's start with business. Why not? It's at the top. We're going to start with business. Here's what this would look like. So you own a business. Now, this is not, we're not talking about you have an investment in a business right now. You own a business, okay? So you're building your wealth. You decide to build your wealth through a business. So you're basically, where are you? Think about it. You are ESBI. You have an investment in a business. And we're going to make you, because in order to do this, one of the keys is you must have control. You must have control over your investing. If somebody else is controlling your investing, you're going to have a really hard time doing this. Okay, you need to have some control over your investing. So in the business side, the easiest place to have control over investing, frankly, is right here, or you might right here, okay? You might have control. You're more likely to have control actually as a small business. So remember I said earlier, we're not talking about your income from the small business. I am going to give you a way that you could actually eliminate your income, your cash flow from your small business. Now, any wages you take out are not going to be eliminated, right? Any wages. It's the earnings of the business after paying the wages. All we have to do with a small business is reinvest. Now, if we reinvest all of the money in the business, except what we're living on, okay? So we keep it in the business. The money that we reinvest, what we have is, here's the equation. You have income and we now have, and many countries are like this, in the US, we have the opportunity to not only deduct our expenses, so we get to deduct our expenses. These are business deductions, right? So we're going to subtract those out. We can also subtract out our investment in the business. So for example, if we need to buy furniture or equipment, we get to deduct that. Okay, it's called bonus depreciation. So we can deduct those. So if we reinvest everything back into the business, our income minus our expenses minus our investment could easily come to zero. Less the money we're living on, right? We're going to be taxed on the money we earn as an employee. This does not apply here, okay? Does not apply here, okay? It doesn't apply to the E quadrant earnings. So we could do this. Now, at the end, at some point, we're going to sell that business. How do we eliminate the taxes? There's two ways to do it. There's two ways to do it on a business. Number one is what we call a stock exchange. So what we do is, this works when we're selling to another company where we would be very happy to have their stock. For example, you're a software developer and you sell to Microsoft. Would you be happy to have Microsoft stock? Of course you'd be happy to have Microsoft stock. Now, my suggestion is don't sell it for cash or take a very small amount out, because here's what happens. If we do a stock exchange, that is tax-free. Exchange. In other words, if you exchange the assets of your business for the stock of Microsoft, that is a tax-free exchange, okay? Or can be a tax-free exchange. So what do you do? Well, now you're going, oh, but if I'm going to get the cash, if I'm going to do something with that cash, I have to sell the stock, and then it's going to be subject to tax. Okay, so you do a stock exchange, that's tax-free. And then you borrow against, you borrow with your public, your new shares. So you don't sell them. You borrow until you die. So this is like the buy, borrow, die strategy we've talked about before. So in this case, you built your company, you exchanged it for a public, your buyer, okay, public company, then you borrowed, and then eventually you're going to die. And when you die, that tax is, that's an elimination event. Your tax goes away. Call that an elimination event. Death is an elimination event. It's not in every country, by the way. It's not in, for example, in Canada, it's not an elimination event. It is in the U.S., okay? Your tax just goes away. So that's one way to do it. Another way to do it is what we call Section 1202, okay? Now, Section 1202 has changed from different years, and sometimes it's 100%, sometimes it's 50%. If you look at our fast facts, you can see what it is right now, okay? What percentage is excluded when you sell the stock? Now, this is what you do if you're not going to sell to a public company. If you think you're likely to be to selling to a private investor, or you're likely to be sold to a smaller company that's not publicly traded, so you don't really want to own their stock. Your goal is not own their stock. Your goal is cash. Here's the rule. It's really actually very slick. The rule is that you own it 5+ years. And always a C corp. Okay, so let's go back to reinvesting the income. Can we do that? Absolutely. We're reinvesting into expenses. We're reinvesting into investment. So we don't actually pay tax during the time. Okay, the corporation doesn't pay any tax, and it's not distributing any money, because the only thing that you're taking out is a salary, which is taxed, because that's E quadrant taxation. Okay, now, I know this is a lot right off the bat, so you're going to want to watch this and read this over and over again, right? Because you want to get this. If your wealth strategy includes your business, then you want to look at Section 1202 or doing a stock exchange, okay? And it can be the stock, be the assets. By the way, there are very, very detailed rules on how to apply both of these, okay? Stock exchange, by the way, one of the most complicated areas of the tax law. So you will need to sit down with your tax team to go through this and make sure that you've done it correctly, okay? The savings are enormous. Let's say you sell your company for $10 million. Well, the tax on that's going to easily be $2 to $3 million. You can eliminate that tax of $2 to $3 million. Okay? You can eliminate that tax. So if your business is how you're going to build your wealth, there are a couple of ways to eliminate the gain Okay, there are actually more ways than this. These are the two most common ways to eliminate the tax on the company when you sell it. Now, let's look at real estate. Okay, let's look at real estate. So we're just taking these asset classes one by one. See, it doesn't matter what your asset class is. So when somebody says, well, you know, I want to do real estate because real estate, it has such good tax benefits. Well, we just saw the business tax benefits, didn't we? Okay, and we're going to get to paper and we're going to get to commodities. So we can be tax-free in any of these investments, any of them. So real estate, here's what happens. Real estate really is, though, well, it's not the easiest. Actually, paper assets are the easiest. It's fairly easy to make this tax-free. This is where we really get into the buy, borrow, die strategy. Okay, so we do buy, borrow, and die strategy. And I'm going to insert something in there because we're going to, well, actually, I'm not, because that's perfect. That's actually perfect. So here's what happens. We go out and we start buying little greenhouses, right? We go start our real estate investing. We buy all these little greenhouses. And we get to a point where we go, okay, we got enough of those little houses. How about some apartment complexes? So what we do is we trade these in for a couple of apartment complexes. Right? So we got a bunch of doors over here. Okay, so we traded in for a bunch of apartment complex, for a couple of apartment complexes. That's what's called a Section 1031 exchange. We've exchanged there. Now we go, well, you know what? We need some money out of these. So what are we going to do? We're going to borrow. So we're going to borrow, and so that's how we're going to take the money out. We're not going to pay tax on the gain. We're going to borrow. Now you go, but what about cash flow? Because the whole purpose of real estate is cash flow, right? That's right. So it is going to cash flow. But what's going to happen is we have this magic thing called depreciation. And depreciation is an expense that offsets our income. So in real estate, the formula looks like this. We have income, which is your rents, right? Less our what we call our operating expenses. And then we get to deduct depreciation, which is a portion of the cost of the property. Now, as long as we're always buying more real estate, our depreciation, because we get to use the bank's money for depreciation. Let me walk through that real quickly here. Let's say that you have $20,000 to invest. Okay, so this is your investment, and then you borrow $80,000 to buy a $100,000 property. Your depreciation is not on the $20,000. It's on the entire $100,000. So what that means is depreciation is often greater than your income after your expenses. So this typically is going to be zero or a loss. Okay, so you're going to offset your cash flow. In real estate, we offset your cash flow all the time. So we've completely eliminated the tax on the cash flow by the depreciation. Now, some of you will say, but I heard depreciation is just deferral. This is where the third part of this comes up. See, because what's going to happen is eventually you're going to get tired of let's say, these properties, and you go out and you buy a big box like a Walgreens. And it's just cash flow, right? It's just coming to your mailbox, right? It's just coming to your mailbox. That flap up here. Okay, it's coming to your mailbox, and every month it's just coming in there, right? So that's Walgreens. Now, eventually, you're going to die. And when you die, the gain is eliminated. Again, this is just like we did with the business. This is an elimination event. Death is an elimination event in the U.S. So we're going to hold it until we die, and we're going to get a basis step up, which means the gain goes away. So here we've done this in real estate. So we saw it in business. Now we're eliminating taxes in real estate. Now let's go to the easy one. The easy one is paper. Let's look at paper assets. Now we're going to look at two types of paper assets. We're going to look at stocks and bonds. Okay, that's the most common. And we're also going to look at insurance, because insurance is a really interesting paper asset. So we're going to look at both of these. And how do we make these tax-free, right? This is all about eliminating your taxes and your investments. Well, stocks and bonds are really, really easy. Okay. On stocks, all we have to do is own them in a Roth, IRA, or 401k. That's it. That's all we have to do. Because a Roth, you're never taxed on the income. You're never taxed on the gain. Once you put the money in there, there is no tax. Remember, if you're over here and you make your money in the E quadrant, right, ESBI, and you're making your money over here, that's going to be taxed. When you invest it, you don't get any tax breaks for investing in a Roth IRA. Now, let's say that you go, but I need some of that money to live on before I turn, you know, the age, whatever that age is, and the age you can pull it out with no tax consequence is in our fast facts, okay? That changes from time to time. So let's say you want to do that before you get older, okay? You want to be able to pull some money out of your stocks. So what you may do is you may find that you're going to have some stocks that you own outside of the Roth, and you'll pay tax on those. Or what you'll do is, here's your alternative. Your alternative is, you might have guessed this by now, buy, borrow, die. What you do is that instead of investing in stocks that pay dividends or mutual funds that throw off capital gains, what you do is you buy stocks that don't pay dividends. Okay? There are actually some really obviously top-notch stocks like Warren Buffett's company, right? Doesn't pay dividends. Apple rarely pays dividends. There are some really good companies that never pay dividends. So what do? When you need cash out, you borrow it out. In other words, you just set up a stock account and you're going to borrow it on margin. You're going to use it as a margin account. You're going to borrow. Eventually, you're going to die and you get that step up in basis. So that's an alternative, and a combination of these two might work really, really well for you. So you're going, okay, some of it I want to diversify more. And so those diversified stocks where they do pay dividends, I'm going to put those in my Roth IRA or my Roth 401k. And those that I'm comfortable with, these stocks are just, they're just not going anywhere, I'm going to do that in a buy, borrow, die. So this is a combination of tax strategies to eliminate taxes on your investment income. What about bonds? Well, bonds, You have two choices. You can do a Roth. Well, you could do buy, borrow, die too. You have three choices. Buy, borrow, die. Or you can do municipal bonds. Municipal bonds are typically issued by cities, counties, other municipalities, and they're like school bonds. No tax. They're tax exempt. So this is another way, if you're going to buy bonds, you have that conservative part of your portfolio, you can actually buy municipal bonds. You don't even have to put them in a Roth or do the buy, borrow, die. Now, bonds are really easy to do. Now, buy, borrow, die, you can do that because if you're going to do a bond that's a buy, borrow, die, what do? You do one that is a zero coupon, something that's not going to pay very small interest. Now, you're going to have to recognize some income on that because there are tax rules that say you do. You can still do buy, borrow, die and minimize, okay? Especially if you buy them you're buying discounted bonds. So Roth, though, and municipal bonds are great ways to do it with bonds. Now let's look at insurance. We're talking about life insurance. And we're talking about either whole life or universal life. They work the same way from a tax standpoint, okay? From an investment standpoint, they're very different, right? Whole life is, it's kind of a base rate. It's more like a bond. It's like a bond, okay? It pays a kind of a fixed amount, somewhat fixed amount, whereas universal is typically invested in the market, okay? That's invested in the stock market. So that's the difference. I'm not going to talk about the benefits or detriments of those. Okay. I'm not going to compare those two. That's an investment decision. You should sit down with your investment advisor to discuss that. With all of these, though, there are a couple of cool things. First of all, the payment, the payout at death is tax-free. So the actual insurance proceeds are tax-free. That's public policy. The government wants you to protect yourself. They don't want to have to come in and bail you out. They don't want people dying on the streets because, okay, their parents died at a young age. Right. So there's public policy to say, look, if you buy life insurance and you can buy term life insurance. OK, it doesn't matter. You can buy a whole life or universal, or you can even buy term. And the payout is always going to be tax free. OK, now there are lots of ways to use insurance. Another way, though, is if you are in whole life or universal, you have what's called a cash surrender value. This is actually investment, and this is sometimes abbreviated, by the way. If you see this, it's frequently abbreviated as CSV, cash surrender value. And this is a buildup of value in your policy. In this case, it is very easy. In fact, all insurance contracts require this in the U.S., that you can use as collateral for a loan. Get this, a loan from your insurance company. This is in every policy, whole life and universal life, from your insurance company. Okay, so let's say you have $100,000 cash surrender value. You can use that as collateral to borrow $100,000. And of course, because remember, buy, borrow, die. Once again, you're not taxed because you're borrowing. And you're not borrowing that money out. right? It's not like a 401k where you borrow, you can actually take out the money. You're not taking the money out from the insurance company. You're actually borrowing from the insurance company. You're using it as collateral, which means you're going to get a really low rate because they know it's there. They're holding that money. So you get a really good interest rate on that. You need some cash? Go borrow. You could even use it to invest. You could use it to invest in real estate. So you could actually have your money working two ways for you. One, in insurance, and the other in real estate. Okay, I know some of you have heard, you know, being your own bank, et cetera, et cetera. This is just a nice tax-free way to use investment dollars. It's a tax-free way to use investment dollars. You can live off this. As you get older, you can just live off your cash surrender value. Now, what happens when you die? What happens when you die is the payout pays off the loan. So you never have to pay it back. And insurance companies know this. They love this because they have the collateral. They're sitting on the collateral. It's invested in their company. So they have no issue with it at all. Okay, so you've got this amazing vehicle here called insurance, and it can do a lot of different things. Okay, we're not going to go through all the different things it does. I just want to show you that if you want, you know, if you're going, look, I'd like a nice safe investment. Okay, and typically, and I'm not an investment advisor, but typically insurance is thought, especially whole life insurance, is considered to be a nice, safe investment. But you want something very conservative, going, okay, but I don't want to pay any tax on it. Well, what are some conservative options? Well, one is you could buy a municipal bond. That would be a conservative option. Another one, you could buy whole life. That would be another conservative option, right? Those are both historically very conservative, low risk type of investments. No tax. Absolutely eliminated the tax. We're not going to ever take the money out of the insurance policy. We're never going to cancel the insurance policy. We're make sure it's funded. We're going to use it as collateral to borrow with the insurance policy. And then we're going to leave that loan outstanding until we either repay it or until we die. Okay? So that's paper. Now let's look at commodities. Commodities. Now, there are several types of commodities. We're going to focus on two here. And the two commodities we're going to focus on are gold and silver. So precious metals. Or we're going to focus on oil and gas. Okay. Now, gold and silver is really easy. Actually has typically a higher tax rate. And in our fast facts, we listed the tax rate for precious metals. Okay, the current tax rate. So it has a higher tax rate. So what we do is we invest in our gold and silver through a Roth. Okay, a Roth IRA or a 401k. That's how we invest in gold and silver. It's that simple. Okay, gold and silver is something you're setting aside. If you really need it, you pull it out of the Roth. Now, there are rules for the Roth that say that after 5 years, you can pull the principal out for any reason and no tax. So you just have to, all you need is 5 years, right? You hold your gold or silver in there for 5 years. Guess what? Not the gains, but you can pull the amount of the principal out. So if you put in $100,000 and bought gold, okay, let's say it's gone up to $500,000, you bought gold at 100, you can pull $100,000 out after 5 years and pay no tax. So that's an easy one, right? Oil and gas is really cool. Now, remember, this is your decision of what you're going to invest, how you're going to build your wealth. If oil and gas is a way you're going to build your wealth, there are some amazing tax benefits to go along with it. So first of all, year one of oil and gas. You are going to deduct anywhere from 80% to 100% of your investment. How much that is in our fast facts. Okay, it changes from time to time. In our fast facts, is it 80%, which 80% relates to our intangible drilling costs, IDC. The 100%, if it goes up there, that's equipment. So when we have bonus depreciation, in the years we have bonus depreciation, the equipment is deductible when you first invest. What does that mean? That means actually that if you're in a 40% tax bracket, then the government is sharing 40% of the cost of your investment. If you're in a 30% bracket, they're sharing 30%. So you get this immediate write-off. Now, you start earning income. So let's say year two, you have income, cash flow. So your cash flow is taxed, only 85% is taxed. That's because we have what's called 15% depletion. 15% depletion. And I know I'm going fast. You're going to want to listen to this and watch this over and over again. 15% depletion. So only 85% is taxed. So what do? You buy more oil and gas. And you keep doing that because every year you're going to get IDC, intangible drilling costs, at a minimum, and you may even get the equipment write-off. So you're going to get these deductions, so you just reinvest. You just reinvest every year, just like real estate, right? Real estate, the reason depreciation works because you're investing every year. Stop depreciating, stop investing, you're going to start paying tax on your cash flow. Same thing with oil and gas. You stop investing. That's why we say, this is very important. Watch this. If you focus, most people, where do they focus their attention? Most people focus their attention on their income statement up here. Okay, this is their focus right here. The wealthy focus their attention down here on their assets and their liabilities. If you're focused on income, what's the general rule? The more income you earn, the more you earn, the more taxes you pay. Now let's look down here on assets. The more assets you have, the more assets you have, the less tax. The less tax. The more assets you have, the less tax you pay. You keep investing. Now, you're going, is that something of an addiction? Yeah, it becomes an addiction. Wouldn't it be great to have an addiction of investing? Oh, I've got to invest more. Why? Well, because I need the tax. I'm going to get slammed with taxes. Well, the government, remember, the whole point of the tax law is to create incentives to do things the government wants you to do. Do they want you to invest in oil and gas? Absolutely. Do they want you to invest in real estate? Absolutely. Do they want you to invest in business? Absolutely. Do they want you to invest in the stock market? Absolutely. So all of these incentives that we've been talking about to eliminate taxes are because the government wants you to do these things. But it's not just, the tax law is not just a series of incentives to teach you how to reduce your taxes. It's not just a roadmap for reducing your taxes. What you see here is a roadmap for building wealth. What you see is a roadmap for building wealth, because as your assets grow, your taxes decrease. So your assets grow and your expense decreases. That's like magic. As your assets grow, your taxes decrease. And that's true whether it's oil and gas, whether it's business, or whether it's real estate. Stock market, you just stay even. You just never pay tax, okay? So they don't actually reduce your taxes, but they eliminate the taxes on, you can eliminate taxes on your stocks and your paper assets. In real estate, oil and gas, and business, you can actually reduce your taxes from your other places you earn. So you might be earning money in the E quadrant, the S quadrant, the B quadrant, or the I quadrant, and your assets actually serve to reduce these taxes. So not only do we eliminate taxes on our cash flow and our gains from our investments, we might actually be reducing our taxes as an employee, self-employed, or a big business owner. Of course, as a professional investor, we're probably going to be zero anyway. So that's why it's so important to eliminate taxes. Now, I'm going to follow, it doesn't matter which four of the four asset classes does it. Doesn't matter which of the four asset classes. It's so important to understand how the tax law works with each of these asset classes. And we can eliminate taxes in any of them. Now, on oil and gas, what are you eventually going to do? You're going to die, right? So that's again how you're going to eventually eliminate the taxes on your oil and gas. You start by keep reinvesting, and then eventually you die, and all of those gains go away. All of those gains go away. So one last thing I want to talk about. Credits. Everything we've talked about so far relates to income and relates to deductions, okay? And it all relates to income and deductions. Now we're going to talk about credits. Credits are magic. And I want to talk about two credits. There are hundreds of tax credits available. And there are some things you can absolutely do. And the tax credits I'm going to actually talk about for just a minute here are real estate tax credits. Real estate, there are a ton of business tax credits, okay? No real credits for investing in the stock market, okay? But there are business tax credits, and there are real estate tax credits, and there are energy tax credits. The two real estate tax credits I want to talk about are low-income housing and historic structure. And here's why. Because I just wanted to give you an idea. These are just a couple of, you know, the 100 or so credits that are in the tax law. Low-income housing, the amount of the credit is equal to 70% of the cost. Now, it's spread over 10 years, but it's 70% of the cost of building new low-income housing. If all you do is rehab, this is new, 70% of the cost. If you rehab an existing, it's 40% of the cost of the rehab, 40% of the cost of the rehab of construction, okay? Not the whole purchase price, but the cost of construction. So these are enormous tax credits most people never know exist. So what is that? That's an incentive from the government, right, to build low-income housing. Housing and Urban Development says on their website that this credit is the most important factor in encouraging low-income housing. Over 3 million units have been built for low-income people, for people with low income, under the low-income housing credit. So it's a huge incentive and it's a huge need. Historic structure, it's 20% of the cost of construction. again, there's this great incentive to restore a historic building. Could you restore it to be your office? Absolutely. That's what they'd like you to do. 20% of, so the government's sharing 20% on top of the depreciation that you get. On top of the depreciation, 20% of the cost of construction. All right, I'm going to throw out a couple of others. Let's look at Opportunity Zone. This is a new one, okay? And this is one from the 2017 tax reform. This is like you can eliminate your gain. So this is no gain. It's not a credit, but there's no gain. So I put it in here just because it's not a credit, but there's no gain, and it kind of functions like credit because it effectively gives you a credit equal to, right, the cost, the gain that you would recognize. So it's just no gain. But I'm going to do one more, and that's research and development. And this is one that is everywhere around the world. There are research and development tax benefits. In the U.S., it's a credit. And if you own a small business and you're doing any innovation, this is for innovation, then you should be looking at the research and development tax credit. So these are credits. These are dollar for dollar. These aren't deductions, right? So in the deduction, if you have a $100 deduction and you're in a 40% tax bracket, it's worth $40, right? If you get a $100 credit, that's worth $100 to you. No matter what your tax bracket is, it's worth $100 to you, unless your tax bracket is zero. But you get it dollar for dollar off of your taxes, okay? We know that there are education credits. There are energy credits. Solar energy, by the way, solar, 30% credit for the cost of buying that solar. So you get solar energy, you get a 30% credit, okay? All of these credits serve to eliminate taxes. You never have to repay them. So that's why it's included here under elimination. Let's say you have $10,000 and you can invest it taxable or you can invest it non-taxable. Let's say that you invest it at 10%. At 10% for 10 years. I'm sorry. Let's not do it for 10 years because I don't know those numbers. Let's do it for 30 years. 30 years. 30 years. See, we're doing the same thing, right? Both of them are exactly the same. Only this is taxed. Over here, this one is exempt. Okay, if we do this, 10, we reinvest everything, right? After 30 years, it looks pretty good. After 30 years, it's worth about $60,000. This is, excuse me, this is at 40% tax rate. This one is at 0% tax exempt. This one over here, after 30 years, is worth $198,000. So, which would you like? $60,000 or $198,000? Because here's what happens. When you understand how the tax law works, you're going to make way more money and pay way less taxes. Thanks. Catch you next time.